Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Marion Roberts was one of the biggest stories of the week, losing around 38% of its value in just a few days. It was the weirdest thing for me, to be honest, because the trading statement early in the week made it pretty obvious that all is not well. Aside from the loss from continuing operations, which is something you never want to see, there was an even more frightening comment further down in that update. The company said that it will evaluate options to delever the balance sheet to achieve a long-term capital structure. Now, there is a very big difference between delevering and delivering. The latter is lovely, the former is painful, as leverage refers to the amount of debt on the balance sheet, and delevering means getting rid of debt. Murray's simply has too much of the stuff, even if the sale of Bombela is taken into account and goes through. This usually ends in a rights offer, something the market has finally woken up to. It is as though everyone simply forgot the pain seen at a company like EOH. In a share price reaction at the opposite end of the spectrum, we find Aspen, and that was around 19% higher for the week, despite releasing results that had really crummy numbers in them. Normalized headline earnings per share, that was down 17% in the 6 months ended December. So why did the share price celebrate this result? The answer was found in the narrative about the company's outlook, with much excitement around the potential to improve capacity utilization in the sterile manufacturing facilities. In a manufacturing business, whether you make furniture or pharmaceuticals, it doesn't matter. It's all about the per unit costs or overhead absorption. Simply, if you are not making enough units, that big fancy facility becomes immensely expensive on a per unit basis. And this is why manufacturing companies make plenty of cash in the good times and do particularly badly when things get tough. The fixed costs introduce operating leverage into the business, which means that a percentage change in revenue is usually met by a significantly larger percentage change in operating profit. The market is certainly expecting better profits going forward from Aspen, with a major rally in anticipation of that. Remember, valuations are always forward-looking. Speaking of looking ahead to better earnings, Cashbuild shareholders are probably going to have to be a lot more patient than Aspen shareholders when it comes to an improvement in the share price and the company's fortunes. The interim HEPS number is the worst we've seen in years from the company. After revenue in the 6 months to December fell by 4% and headline earnings tanked by 39%. Gross profit margin was under pressure and expenses were up by 9% at the same time that revenue fell, so profitability never stood a chance here. The bigger worry is that the revenue story seems to be deteriorating further, with sales in the first 6 weeks of 2023 down by 8% year on year. Clearly, home improvement projects are all about solar at the moment, and building activity is subdued. In the past year, Cashbuild is down around 31%, and sector peer Italtal is only down around 11.5%. In an inflationary environment, you want to be invested in companies that have pricing power. Caxton and CTP certainly ticked that box in the 6 months to December. HEPS was up by between 32.3% and 39.8%, a fantastic result driven by revenue growth of 25.8%. The company did a great job of recovering raw material costs, which is why profits increased at a higher percentage than revenue, because margins were well supported. There's also good news around cash flow, with higher stock levels expected to normalize as supply chains have eased. This would release working capital, i.e. the cash tied up in the business, and shareholders like that. In case you missed my rant last week in Ghostmail about Investec Property Fund, I'll just rehash it here despite the effect it has on my stress. Suffice to say that the proposal to internalize the ManCo is ridiculous, but it's nothing we've not seen before in the property sector. Basically, the way this works is that a management team that should just be earning salaries and bonuses gets a pretty sweet deal to earn asset management fees instead, calculated with reference to the total assets in the fund. To make it worse, they then effectively hold shareholders hostage through a ManCo buyout or internalization that pays them a multiple of those fees, fees that they should not even have been earning in the first place. It's like a business within a business, with shareholders in the fund footing the bill to unwind this silly structure. Worst of all, the management team still needs to earn salaries going forward. So this is essentially a once-off payment to achieve the position that should have been in place the entire time. If you're still wondering why this irritates me so much, perhaps some numbers will help you. The payout on the table here is 975 million rand, and that will save the fund 73.8 million rand in management fees. Again, management fees that it shouldn't really be spending in the first place. That payout is 14% of the fund's market cap. If you've ever wondered why investment and property funds trade at such a discount to net asset value, wonder no more. In a classic example of a share price cooling off, Woolworths fell around 10% over the past week, despite releasing phenomenal results. In the 26 weeks to 25th December, turnover was up 15% and HEPS skyrocketed over 75%. The interim dividend nearly doubled. Of course, there were lockdowns in Australia in the base period, which has made these numbers look absolutely absurd. If we look at the final 6 weeks of the period, which was far less affected by lockdowns in the base, then you'll see that revenue was up by 8.8%, which is a lot more reasonable. Now that David Jones is out of the way, the management team will be focused on the local business here in South Africa and Country Road in Australia. This hasn't come a moment too soon, as load shedding is a serious issue for the cold chain, and at Woolworths we know how cold that chain is. The share price has had a really strong run over the past year, but I think that load shedding has spooked investors and has driven a correction in this sector and especially in Woolworths. In case you missed the news out of MultiChoice, the company is putting together a proper streaming offering in Africa. In a deal with Comcast, NBC Universal's Peacock technology will be used to deliver a platform that will have a content mix that I believe has every chance of succeeding. Live English Premier League football, courtesy of Sky, is going to be key to the story here. MultiChoice will retain 70% of Showmax, and Comcast will take a 30% stake in the platform, which will be re-domiciled as a UK holding company that will offer this streaming platform throughout Africa. I think this is a clever move by MultiChoice and a very necessary one as well. And finally, a note on Sasfin. Banks are measured by return on equity, and Sasfin is failing miserably. Return on equity in the 6 months ended December was below 8%. Let me put this differently for you. Sasfin shareholders would be better off if Sasfin just took their money and put it on fixed deposit with another bank instead. Ouch. The problem lies in impairments in this particular period, but to be honest, Sasfin has much bigger structural issues as a perennial underperformer. For contrast, FirstRand's return on equity is now north of 20%. This is one company that I just have no interest in investing in among the local banks. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.